Well, hello, witches. Welcome to Hex Rated, where I, Blackbird, along with my good friend Scarlet, discuss many topics, witchcraft being the main topic. This week, we are discussing festivities that happen around this time of year involving springtime, the coming of the new season, like in bulk and other things. So I learned a lot. I hope you do too. Sit back, relax, grab a bowl of soup or some tasty, warm comfort thing, and enjoy. Thanks as always for listening.
I put a spell on you because you're mine.
Stop the things
you Gary. Sorry.
I said dairy.
Yeah, right. It's been a week, man. It has been a fucking week. Well, before we get into what a week it's been, exclamation point. My name is Blackbird.
I'm Scarlet.
This is Hex Rated, where we talk about witchcraft and clearly Gary. Or dairy. Hey, maybe you have an uncle named Gary. Tell him welcome and fucking hail. All right.
Sure.
Well, okay. So, first of all, any corners that we need to cover? I got nothing.
I've been on the Oscar corner trying to catch up, watch all the Oscar Best Picture nominees.
Ooh, look at you.
I am 7 of 10 right now.
Wow, shit.
This is all due to Mr. Scarlet. He's the one that's really into it. There were a few that I wanted to see and went and saw immediately. And then the rest, basically, he's holding me hostage and I'm nice. Watching them. But they've all been very good. So I haven't regretted watching any of them.
I was going to say, Poor Things is up for some stuff, right?
Yes, it is.
Ugh, so good.
Poor Things, Oppenheimer, what else have I just been watching? Maestro.
Oh, is that good?
It's okay. I mean, yeah, it's visually good. I am. That's the biopic with Bradley Cooper. Leonard Bernstein. I'm not as familiar with his music or conducting.
Right.
So I feel like it would have operated on a different level for me if I had been.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
But. What else did I see? Anatomy of a Fall is excellent.
Yes.
Loved it.
Okay.
So good. What else did I watch? I don't even know.
That's a it's great a list. I just watched don't tell me what it was on, but it was in like a Q&A with Willem Dafoe. And let me just say, he is just a joy. I love him so much.
He just loves life, and it's
he
great.
He does. Yes, and he's such a like brilliant guy. He's just so, I don't know.
And very humble, though.
Yes, very humble. And also just like, he just seems like a guy you could fucking walk up to and start talking to, and he'd be like into it. I mean, I don't mean, you know, into you. I mean, although he might be. I'm just saying into talking to anybody. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems like a real guy.
He just seems like he'd be super fun to be on a movie with because I feel like in between takes, he would just be a blast.
Well, and also just like a wealth of fucking knowledge.
Sure.
It was like a Q&A where he had to like guess which lines of his were from which movie. And, you know, of course, you know, you don't know if it's a setup or not, but he fucking nailed it, nailed all of them. And then discussed like in depth about the characters he was playing. One of my favorite Willem Dafoe movies, Shadow of the Vampire. In case you have not seen it, run, don't walk, to your couch and fucking watch it because it is so so good.
In preparation for the new Nosferatu movie that is coming out.
Yes,
I did a deep dive and watched the original German.
Yes, of course.
And then the Werner Herzog remake.
Yes.
And then Shadow of a Vampire, which is a fictional retelling of the making of the original.
Correct.
One from the 20s.
So good.
And they are all very good. And I strongly recommend watching them all in a row.
I love it. Oh, that might be my weekend activity. Shit. I haven't seen the original in years. So, yeah.
Yeah. Good I mean, it's a silent movie. So, yes. You know, and also, like, I had to just find it on YouTube. So, yeah. Make sure you get a high quality version, because obviously it's not the like 4K rendering that we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
But it's lovely and so cute. And you really, I mean, it's enjoyable for its own sake, of course.
Yes.
But just to give context to the other films, as well as just horror films in general, there's so much stuff in there that you're like, oh, that's where that's from.
Yeah. Yeah. The other
nominees, yes. Hold on, The Holdovers, which I saw, which was pretty cute. Let's see, American Fiction, which I have not seen yet, but would like to see. Zone of Interest, which I have not seen. Barbie, which was delightful and fun. Very much liked it. I thought Margot Robbie was astonishing. And Kate McKinnon is Weird Barbie. I would like to see a whole movie of that, please.
I mean, also, I want Kate McKinnon as a neighbor. Don't you?
Oh, my God.
Just like fucking, oh, my God. She would be such a great neighbor. Like such a kooky.
If you're ever feeling down, go look up the Saturday Night Live Abducted by Aliens skit.
Yes, it's so good.
Because the skit itself is like medium funny, but she is making everybody on set crack up. Like they are having to like bury their faces.
They cannot keep it. Oh, it's so good.
Nobody can keep it together. Oh, it's so fucking funny.
The first time Mr. Blackbird showed that to me, I was like, holy shit. Comedy fucking genius. She is amazing. Yes. Really. Yeah, I have to see most of those now. So great.
Oppenheimer, which I saw. Yeah. I honestly, I'm going to be real. I don't really remember anything about the movie because it's so dense
long
and intellectual. It's like when you take the SAT and you just blank out. The only part I really remember is
the bomb part.
No, Florence Pugh. Having sex with someone while she demands they recite Sanskrit to her. And I was like, this is a fantasy I didn't know that I wanted. But I would absolutely love to have Florence Pugh get on top of me while I read Sanskrit poetry to her.
Mental note.
Because holy shit, totally in love with her.
Okay, making that happen. That's awesome. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Life goals.
Poor Things, which we have talked about and are gonna talk about at length
even
at some
more
point. Past Lives, which I have not seen yet. Anatomy of a Fall, which is a French film, is excellent. It's so good. Maestro, and then Killers of the Flower Moon, which
we watched I thought that was really, really great. And props
big shout out to the costumes. God,
yes,
gorgeous. It's really cool to see a really interesting blend of like classical 1920s sort of stuff and then like indigenous fashions and crafts and stuff.
Yes.
And I know that the costume department worked pretty closely with a lot of indigenous makers to get authentic pieces and stuff, and it's just so interesting to see how different people from that community mix traditional elements with contemporary elements and the play between making a conscious show of one tribal affiliation, but also wealth, which to an American, like a Caucasian audience, needs to be communicated in their fashions. So it's very much a high wire act of what you're trying to communicate to whom. And I thought that they captured that really perfectly.
Absolutely. Achieved. Yes, I agree. I really enjoyed that.
Also, a lot of the local accents I felt were pretty authentic, because the Okie accent is slightly different than the North Texas accent, but they're
very
of a spectrum. Yeah. So I always enjoy when I see people from Texas or Northern Louisiana or Oklahoma and that region not sounding like Foghorn Leghorn.
I do not declare. All great things happening. Many good things. Let's see. I have zero corners to talk about because I have done nothing but like work this week. Although I did. Shall we segue? Into our main topic. So let's just say before you hear this episode, Imbolc happened. And I did my thing. I did the offering. Don't shut me out. I did the offering.
Sorry, I got a smudge on my on my camera.
She's like blocking me with her hand. Sure. I did my little offering of milk and some homemade bread that I made with my hands and a little white flour. It was the same offering I made last year, and I put it in the same place as last year. And then I walked around the house three times, and I made the little bed for Breed. I was like, knock, 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 let me in. Breed, the bed is ready. And I did not see my big white cat this year. So, okay.
Maybe that was just a first time in the new house.
Could have been. I kind of like that idea. We do have a little Hecate coming around. I think it's hunting my birds, which I'm kind of sad about, but I saw her yesterday. I'm going to go ahead.
Mercedes and Frijoles?
No. I think Mercedes and Frijoles are still, I think they're still alive, still doing well. I don't really know, but there's a lot of doves out there. But
and then, what was the, because Mercedes is the mama and Percy
is the father papa, and Frijoles
and,
then, and
Dolores and Frijoles.
Lourdes, I think. Just Lourdes.
Did I say Lourdes? Or? It was one of those Marian
yes,
names.
It was Lourdes and Frijoles. Which, wow.
Milagros. It was Milagros.
Oh, Milagros. That's right. And I was like, beans.
That means beans.
Or war. I don't know. There's
or miracles.
There's a bean war. That's right. That's what it was. Anyway, I think they're fine. I think they're safe from the little black kitty. But I just saw its booty shuffling down the stairs the other day. I was like, ooh, we have a new friend. And the little cats inside were freaking out. But anyway, so when I got done with that, after I circled the house and left my offering and came inside, I was like, well, I don't feel done. So I came into my area, my witch area, where I had made the bed for Breed. And I kind of just sat down and I found this playlist that is it's like an in bulk playlist on Spotify, whatever. There's a bunch of them. But this one had a little sheep's like emoji, I guess, like a little sheep emoji next to the playlist. I was like, didn't know you could do that. Technology, what? And so I listened to some of that, and a lot of it was very Celtic, very Irish, which is, I know that's like the vibe of the day, but I was not looking for that. I was looking for something kind of like woo woo, you know, like kind of a like in an English plane or a Scottish or Irish plane kind of mystical music. And I did that playlist had some stuff like that on there. So I kind of like meditated on some of that music, and I felt really like warm all over. I don't know. I mean, I did feel warm all over, but it's not because the room was hot. I was just feeling I felt very like connected to the earth, and I felt kind of more of an impetus to like do the damn thing, if you know what I mean. I mean, we've been talking, and we talked last week about, hey, stagnation makes you stagnate. Do you know? So we talked about that last time and how I was getting all these crazy things telling me, like, just go for a walk, basically, or just like do things. Stop stewing in your own juices. That sounds gross. But you know what I mean? Like, or sexy juices. But basically, just get up and start doing stuff. And so I felt that like urge a little bit more than I have. I think the time is dwindling for me to just like sit around and be sad, you know, like it's definitely, there was a definite demarcation line made last night. And that's kind of in bulk, right? So,
right.
There you go.
Well, do you want to talk a little bit about making the bed? I pulled up one of our old in-bulk rituals, and I forget who actually found this thing, but what it was is you circle the house and you make a bed and you place an offering on the bed for Breed, and you circle outside of the house three times and chant, Breed, Breed, come in, the bed is ready. And then after the third, the owner of the house goes inside while the other participants wait outside, and they knock on the door three times.
Right.
And when we did it as a group, it was really fun because we felt kind of like crazy people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get halfway around and you're like, fuck it. I don't care if my neighbors think I'm a crazy person.
Yeah.
So that's always fun.
I feel like we did some like skipping and things at
your
house.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I did not skip last night. I mean, I really just circled the house, but I did do the knocking and it was I wouldn't say late, but it was like 10 and I didn't want like the neighbors to think something was like wrong. So we're kind of set apart though. I don't think anybody's looking. So I just did my circling, but I was very intentional about it. So it was kind of more, it was definitely less lighthearted than when we did it together. But then I think that's just because I'm by myself. It's not like I'm like going to be all zippity-doo, what's up? So, although, why not? But, so I made now, like a lot of the lore that I have read is like you make a white bed and you make a little corn dolly, which corn dolly can probably mean many things. But what I have seen is people making like little figures out of like, I don't know, like straw or, I mean, I would say palm fronds, but it can't be palm fronds, but it looks like palm fronds. So I'm guessing it's some type of straw or hay or something. And you make a little figurine and that bed is like basically represents the bridal bed.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's really about like, I think the, you know, the impending spring and fertility, etc., and you know, just kind of new beginnings. Maybe I feel like it's a very hopeful time,
right? Because you know, Yule, if you're from like a very northern area, like is a much more serious time meteorologically than it is for me in Texas. But you know, like, it's the longest night of the year. Here, we still get a solid 10 hours, so it's not really that big of a deal. The ground doesn't freeze.
No.
You know, we're not like farmers in the Middle Ages worrying if we're going to make it.
No.
So it doesn't really have that vibe for me. But Impulk is sort of the midway point between winter solstice and spring equinox. So it's sort of like, yeah, you're at the home stretch.
Right.
Like, it's time to start actually really thinking about spring. And I don't know if this is because my mom is from Pennsylvania or she just really likes silly little animals or something, but she was always really into checking out the groundhog.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Phil.
Yeah, that's all anybody talked
what
about
his
here today.
Prediction is.
Yes.
So Groundhog Day is usually it is February 2nd.
Yes.
So I always associate the holiday of Imbolc or Candlemas with that because that was actually something I grew up with as a tradition. And it overlaps a lot with the kind of more Celtic flavored Imbolc or Candlemas. But it being like a time to predict the weather, to see what kind of spring it's going to be, to see if it's going to be 6 weeks or, you know, a short winter. And so, yeah. And I just like the idea of hitting up a very silly animal.
Right?
Groundhogs are silly and goofy.
Yeah.
And dressing him up. And putting him in a like a little fancy thing and
giving him a little hat. Doesn't he have a hat?
Giving it, yeah, he's got a whole thing, and I just think that's delightful.
I mean,
so I very
we
much
should
enjoy
do it more.
That.
Yes,
I love it.
I do too.
And of course, you know, Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog thing. That was a tradition that was brought over to Pennsylvania by German settlers. I believe it's more common in Germany to do a badger.
Or oh shit,
ducks.
Good luck dressing
the word
a fucking,
for badger.
Good luck dressing a badger. How do you put that in a little top
know.
Hat? I want to try.
I also read that in other countries like Hungary, they would do like the idea of a bear, like a bear
ooh.
Coming out from hibernation, and if
that
it
makes
sees
sense.
Its shadow, then you know if it's ready to be spring or not.
That makes sense.
Right, and then
a bear sounds better than a groundhog, but I like that.
But perhaps more dangerous to observe.
Yeah, yes,
definitely
for sure.
Do not hold the bear up or try to dress it up. Probably.
Or put it in a little hat. No, don't do it.
No.
Yeah, no. And I guess so the verdict was spring is a coming. The verdict was that the winter should be over soon. We'll see. I don't know. Isn't it fairly accurate? I can't remember.
Because there's more than one. Punxsutawney Phil is the one that I give the most credence to.
We give the most credence to this groundhog, not other groundhogs. Yeah. Yeah, I don't. All I know is that everybody was. It was all of Twitter today is the groundhog and his shadow and excellent springtime happenings. I am ready to plant some shit, so I'm glad. I hope it's true. I really hope it's true.
I am trying to find the percentage.
I am trying to vamp while you find it.
He's 30% correct over the last 10 years, but he's doing it for more than that. So that is not.
That's not great. That's not great, Phil.
Okay, I'm seeing a statistic that says 46%.
Oh, that's better. That's better. Hey.
I mean,
it's not
now
great.
I'm seeing another figure that is 39. So, middling success. Honestly, I usually go by the opposite of what.
What he says or what he does. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel
like. Which makes more sense to me because the thing is, if it's sunny and that means that he casts a long shadow, which to me, if it's sunny, that should mean that spring is coming.
You'd think.
But I believe if he sees his shadow, then that means there will be a longer winter. But if he doesn't see his shadow, to me, that means it's overcast, which would then mean that the weather is crappy. Which would indicate that the winter will continue.
I don't know how it works, but I'm furiously looking it up now. Let's see. If he emerges from his burrow and sees his shadow, more winter is happening. If it does not see its
which
shadow,
doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
that means
I agree.
It was sunny out, though.
Right. Like
so
I
believe that the human interpretation of the groundhog action is flawed, not that Punxsutawney Phil is incorrect.
No,
because
I don't think,
if you flip those figures, even 46 or 30%, like that means if this is saying he's right 30% and I disagree with it and you flip it, that means he's right 70% of the time. And even if he's wrong, if this is saying 46%, which is the highest figure I saw, that still means that he's right more than half the time if you flip the prediction.
If you flip it, right.
Right?
Shit. Yes.
I think we should all band together and demand a new calibration of groundhog.
Groundhog shadow seeing meaning.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree with you. I'm real close. I can start this situation happening now. I'm much closer than you. I will drive to Punxsutawney. Figure this shit out.
I should ask my mom if she ever went to go see him as a child.
Right?
It would have been kind of, because I don't know where Punxsutawney is.
It's pretty far. It's like, actually, it's so if I was going to go almost all the way across Pennsylvania, it's like it's toward the west side of
the state. Well, because she was from Pittsburgh, so
in that south,
I mean, she is from Pittsburgh. I meant past tense, that's where she lived, not past tense, she doesn't exist anymore.
no, of course not. It would be a little far drive for me, but that doesn't mean I don't want to try. I'm with you, I want to flip it, and I never can remember anyway, so now I'll just think that if he sees his shadow longer, wait, spring is happening.
No, yeah, yes,
right.
Correct.
We're gonna do it
glad
our
we got
way
that sorted out.
We're gonna do it our way, and let's start a petition. Who is with us?
Right.
Yeah, but maybe I'll read the wiki later about why it is the way it is. I don't know. Let's see. Okay, so that's what I did. I sat around then last night for about another, I don't know, 45 minutes or so, listening to this music, feeling really connected, feeling very, I wouldn't call it energetic. I would just call it more connected than I have felt in the last couple of weeks. Really, since the year has turned, I've felt very, Like we were saying, I've just felt very stuck, really just fucking stuck. That's what's happening here. So I got up yesterday and I actually did some writing, which I haven't done in a long fucking time. That's something I did ask Breed specifically because she is a goddess of poetry. So mm-hmm. I asked for some help with my writing because I really have been in I wouldn't call it a funk. It's just like I don't know what to write about. That's bullshit. I do know what to write about. I'm just not doing it. So yeah, lots of hopefully, I feel like I'm getting a late start to the year. You know what I mean? Like I felt like I should have I should be doing XYZ by the new year. And I've just felt kind of late, but also it's fucking okay. Nothing. This is just the season I'm in and it's fine. It's really fine.
I agree because for me, beginning of February is usually when I finally get a fire under my ass to actually do those things that I was either having to put off because in December it's just like nonstop holidays and family gatherings and whatever. Yeah. And, you know, all the sort of New Year's resolutions crap. So February is actually tends to be when I actually get around to doing those things, which is very much in tune with the season because I think of it as being a very sort of pre-spring holiday. So spring cleaning kind of vibes, you know, tending to your hearth, sort of taking stock of how long the winter's going to be, sort of that sort of inventory type activity. I'll admit, though, that when I was a wee witch, I never really celebrated in bulk because I am not super into the Wiccan or Celtic holidays. That's just not a pantheon or flavor that I grew up with or was terribly interested in. Yeah. When we started getting together to do rituals, we did one that was our style, but kind of more traditional with that Celtic flavor. Where we did this traditional thing of making the bed, which was fun, just doing like kind of a silly craft. And because we just got blankets and pillows and made like kind of like a little pallet on the floor.
Right.
Walked around the house, which again, like I said, is always fun. Yes. And silly to be outside acting like a weirdo. Very
always fun.
Freeing. And then we did for our circle invocations, which we usually do black, white, and red, or, you know, some kind of three thing. We broke it down to Breed the Healer, Breed the Smith, and Breed the Poet. So Breed being a Celtic goddess of light, and obviously she is seen as all three of those roles, which I like and is very poetic. So we did invocations for all three of those. And then I'm looking at my notes, and there was one really epic one where I believe your sister was in town.
My sister was here, yeah.
Yeah, and so we each decided to do some kind of self-care ritual thing. So I did as sort of a Smith healer. I made some golden milk. So, you know, I did some like almond milk with turmeric and black pepper and cinnamon and clove and honey. And I had it in my big, heavy, heavy iron teapot. And I poured out like little cups for everybody because, of course, having a nice, tasty, hot beverage is super nice on February evening. Yes. But also kind of doing it as this more solemn, like hostessy, because, of course, Breed is also a goddess of the hearth. So this idea of taking something from the stovetop and serving it to your guests and sitting in a circle. And also, of course, golden milk has a lot of healing properties in it. It's got a lot of like antioxidants and anti-inflammatories.
Yep.
And there's actually some very specific chemistry to it of having the curcumins in it get activated by having the addition of black pepper. Mm. So all the different ingredients work together. So that was really fun. You did a little energy medicine mini workshop. Just you kind of gave us a 5-minute daily routine.
That's exciting. Like the tapping and the
tapping.
Yeah, the tapping and the pulling the energy up from the earth, which is always fun.
And then we did like a chant collaboration.
Oh,
where we all came up with, and the two chants that I wrote down that we came up with that we ended up then using was, because there were, it was witches number. So at the time it would have been what, there were
probably
five of us,
four or five of us. Yeah.
With your sister. So witches five, dance the flame as we will in Breed's name.
Ooh, I like that.
And then we did black, red, silver, white, feed the flame in the night.
Oh, I like it. Is that the one totally where we like
those occurred?
I was going to say, I feel like we did some other like spontaneous word thing that night too. But yeah, I do remember one of the very first times that we got together for Imbolc. Wasn't that the crazy fire we had? The fire was like blue.
Yes.
We've
that
talked about this before, but it was
Yule.
So great.
So yeah, we did. We started doing the fireball, which, as mentioned previously, is actually like a silver candy dish
I
found on Etsy, and has three little sections, and the little handles that meet up in the middle are snakes.
Yeah.
And so I usually fill it with Epsom salt and just put rubbing alcohol in it and light it up.
Because
it's, you know, if you spill the fuel, alcohol has very low evaporation temperature. So it's easy to clean up. It doesn't burn super hot.
Doesn't burn
and it burns
super,
out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't burn super long either. So yeah.
But we had just done it for Yule. And we had that kind of like Freya, Holda, kind of like Wild Hunt energy.
Yes.
And that flame was super weird because it was like these little flashes of blue.
Yeah.
It was almost like lightning. So it was like this very low, quiet, cold fire. It was very, because of course it's the shortest night of the year. And then when we did it for Imbolc, it was completely different.
Right.
It was a roaring bright orange fire.
Same ingredients.
Just, like, leaping up.
Yes.
And it was also loud, which was very weird to me because it was like, I mean, it's not like there were logs in it. It's not like things are crackling and shifting. And so that was very strange. And that's when we noticed that, like, oh yeah, like this fire, same ingredients every time, but like it definitely will take on the character of whatever is being invoked.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh yeah. We've had some really good Imbolc celebrations. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's become one of my favorite ones just because we've had some really fun times with it. I haven't really revisited the Breed stuff just because she's not a goddess that I work with super regularly. Although I am very much into dairy
yes.
all the time.
All right. So what did you make? Because I know you made something fantastic.
Oh, I made Nalisneki, where there's some regional pronunciations of which I am not hitting any. But they're a Ukrainian sort of crepe.
Yeah.
So you make these crepes and then you fill them with a quark cheese, which I don't know what that is and cannot find it.
What did you use?
Cottage cheese.
Okay.
Which is often listed in recipes as a substitution.
Okay.
And then you put a lot of chopped dill in there.
Oh, God.
And a little bit of milk and some eggs.
Mm.
And you mix that all up. And so you stuff the and sour cream and then you put it in the crepes and you roll them up like little burritos.
Yes.
And then you put that in a baking dish and you cover it with some melted butter and like a splash of milk and a little bit more sour cream.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I also put smoked paprika in mine.
Yeah.
Because I like the dill flavor and the cream flavor, but I like to have it just have a little more of a kick and it gives it like a smokiness.
Love it.
But it's super decadent and delish, and it's got four kinds of dairy in it. So
sounds amazing.
Very festive.
Yeah.
And because the first time I did that was 2 years or was it 2 years ago? It was right, incidentally, when the war in Ukraine broke out.
Started. Yeah.
And so somehow I had been wanting to try this dish because it sounded great. And then I was like, okay, well, this is like the perfect time to do this. And
this is like ancestral for you too, though, right? Is that where your people hail from?
No, I am Slovakian. So
okay.
Of the Eastern European variety. And of course, those countries' borders are modern. They were very different, even 150 years ago.
Sure.
But so anyway, but yeah, so I kind of did a Pan-Slavic event where kind of invoking that. I had offerings of like sunflowers and sunflower seeds because that's the national flower of Ukraine. And then I had a photo of my great grandmother in there. And then I had also just received a really cool candlestick holder.
Ooh.
That had some Eastern European sort of cross stitch patterns on it. And I saw it online and bought it and thought it was really cool. And of course, it was getting shipped from like, I forget where, but Eastern Europe. And so it took a minute to get here. So I forgot I had even ordered it.
Oh, shit.
And it arrived just in time.
Wow.
So that was like another weird coincidence.
Yeah, very much.
And so that all just kind of came together. And so it kind of became more about that. So now I tend to kind of associate the holiday more with like trying to connect with my genetic ancestor roots.
Right.
And in doing so, I also researched, there's, of course, all over Europe, the other name for the in bulk is Candlemas. And there's just tons and tons of candle rituals associated with it. Millions of regional variations. But what it's called in Polish and some neighboring countries is, I'm going to mispronounce this. I think it's Gromica, but it means thunder. And people would do a lot of the same traditions that other countries do with the candles, but with this additional sort of thunder,
ooh,
pagan element to it.
Okay.
Which I really liked because I was like, oh, so that kind of combines this sort of Candlemas light, you know, kind of being this midway point between the winter solstice and the vernal equinox. And also this like weather forecasting tradition of Groundhog's Day and other meteorological animals.
Right.
So I liked that. And so the tradition with that in Poland is varied, but it goes back to you make or hand dip or acquire a candle and then everyone goes and gets it blessed. So,
okay,
of course, in the Middle Ages and beyond, you would get it blessed by like a Catholic
priest.
Or Christian priest.
Right.
And then you bring it home and you light it and you use that to light your hearth. And you can also drip some of the blessed candle wax around the house for protection.
Okay. Yep.
Which I really liked that. I thought that was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
It is also similar to, I had read other traditions of putting butter on the doorposts of your house as,
ooh,
like an offering to breed or an offering to your house spirits or whatever for,
yep,
sort of protection or fertility or
like put it on like,
luck
when you say
yeah
put
you
it
just
on
put
the
a little you just put a little pat of butter
on
just oil up those door
like
jams.
On your door. Okay, so like on the
door. Front door.
Okay, but like not on the door but on the side,
like on either
door.
Side of the door.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Not on the handle.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
No. Yeah, butter the handle and no one can get in or out.
We'll butter the handle and Mr. Blackmore,
that's a different,
very mad,
that's a much different prank.
Yes. Okay.
So I liked the mix. I was seeing how a lot of these things overlapped in a weird way.
Yeah.
So, and also for me, you know, February actually is usually the roughest month weather-wise here.
Right.
It's usually we get the blue northers come in where you have these really violent swings in weather and temperature.
Right.
And also, you know, you're getting ready for spring, which here is tornado season.
Yes.
So, I have hail water that I collect,
yeah,
whenever it hails. So I thought it'd be fun to dress a candle with the hail water and give it my own blessing and drip some of the wax and use that as protection around the house and stuff like that. And then traditionally people would hold on to this special candle and use it for different things throughout the year. And so I really like that idea. I've been doing kind of more stuff with candles and wax recently. Yeah. I told you when on Halloween, I repaired my besom or broom because the handle was slipping out from the bushel of foliage that makes the broom.
Right.
And so I dripped candle wax down into it to sort of seal it all up.
Smart.
And it was really fun and cool. And very dangerous. I could have burned my house down, but I didn't.
You didn't, though.
So, that's no. Great. So so anyway, what I did for the February 1st was I made the nalizniski and ate it and felt full of dairy. And then I walked
delicious.
Around the house three
yes.
times doing
yes.
the breed, come in. I didn't make a little bed, but I thought about it.
That's fine.
And so I walked around the house with the pups, and I also have like a little kind of footpath that meanders through my backyard.
Right.
That goes around the fountain. So I and then I walked around that three times sort of.
Okay.
And I started feeling like kind of, I don't know, lightheaded or giddy or and I looked up at the sky and there were these long streaks of white clouds in the night sky that were like reflecting the city lights.
Oh wow.
And then I was seeing like the brightest stars shine through them. So I was like thinking it looked very milky, you know, like
yeah.
it looked like these little rivulets of milk. And of course then I was seeing the stars. Of course we call our galaxy the Milky Way. And
yes.
the word galaxy is actually from the word for lactation.
Oh yeah.
So then I was thinking of like breed or, you know, whatever goddess you want to associate this holiday as being a type of night or like celestial goddess, like a star goddess, which is a kind of interesting twist because I tend to think of this as being more of like a hearth inside, like warm, cozy baking holiday. So sort of having it go from inside the hearth, the home, and being all bundled up and like full of cheese and cream to going outside and having this like very
like,
expansive,
right,
starry sort of mother goddess, and
well,
those sort of being two sides of the same coin.
Exactly. I mean, it works just like we discussed in our Hecate workshops, the paradox, right? The
yeah,
the duality. And Breed is also a triplicate goddess. So,
yeah.
you know, this whole dichotomy, I totally get where you're coming from. And I love that you went outside and saw these things that completely resonated with this goddess. That's really, really fucking cool.
Yeah. And the other thing that was really funny is when I stepped out on the back porch, it was like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So sunset here is like around like 6-ish now.
We did it at the same time. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I'm in the but anyway, as I stepped out on the porch, I have some little solar lanterns.
Yeah.
And they turned on like right when I stepped out, which obviously is not when they normally come on.
No.
They normally come on, you know, like 30 minutes after it gets dark.
Right. Oh my gosh.
So that was kind of spooky, ooky magic time.
Yeah, it's
and,
awesome.
And then the last impression I had as I was walking around the house and then walking around the fountain was this idea of kind of like circuitous paths and like labyrinths and stuff.
Mm.
And I just sort of had this sense of like all the different little literal and figurative pathways we take. Because I was seeing as I was walking out in the lawn, there's like a little path that my dogs always cut across the grass through.
Sure.
And then there were other like little areas where, I don't know, it's just where rain runs off the side of the house or maybe other little critters are walking there. And just all the seeing around me, all these different ways that there's this repetitive action that's happening all around me, and some of which I participate in and some of them I don't. And this idea of, it's kind of hard to explain, and this is my first time articulating it,
mm-hmm.
but you know, sometimes people describe ghost activity, for example, as being there was like some sort of repetitive activity and it leaves some sort of like etheric impression.
Yes.
Because like as something is worn away or repeated, it sort of leaves a mark.
Yes, it leaves
in a three-dimensional way, but also in a sort of emotional or spiritual or symbolic way.
I love this.
So
yes,
I just was overcome with this feeling of sensing and seeing all these like little winding, spiraling patterns around me. And then that expanding into a sense of just these little rituals I do every day, or these little patterns in my life of physically going from one place to another, or thinking thoughts, or, you know, just from the very literal to the very abstract. And it was like a really magical feeling.
You are blowing my mind.
I blew my own mind.
I was going to say, that's pretty fucking deep. That's a lot more than me going, I felt connected. I mean, I don't know how to describe that.
Can of pennies.
Yes, no, it's great. I did not feel the expanse, but I am glad you did. And that is fucking cool.
My little offering was, I have a little tea saucer and I put a little slice of the Nalizhniyski. I got these really cute little mandarin oranges from Trader Joe's that are like even teenier than the normal ones.
Stop.
They're like ping pong or golf ball size.
Oh my God.
So I put a little wee mandarin on there.
Cute.
And then I had a little, like a tall shot glass of goat milk and honey.
Nice.
And it just looked so lovely and dainty together. There was just something about this sort of perfect little slice of homemade food and then this tall shot glass of, like, you know, opaque milk with this clear golden layer of honey that had sunk to the bottom.
Yeah.
And then this little candy-like, toy-like, bright orange mandarin.
I love that.
On a sweet little tea saucer. It was just, I don't know, it was a very picturesque little thing. So I left that in my usual outdoor spot. So that was what
that.
I did. But I'd like to do, I haven't had a chance to do some candle stuff. I don't have any experience with like dipping candles or anything.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different traditions about for these thunder candles, like either tying certain herbs to them or decorating them in a certain way. Obviously it runs a whole spectrum of like very pagan-y type stuff to very super Catholic type stuff. But I like that idea, and I like combining it with the hail water and really tapping into this sort of thunder magic, because one of the traditions is once you have this thunder candle that's blessed and you use it to light your hearth and stuff like that, then you can also light it throughout the year when you need protection or something, specifically from to avert bad weather. So
given that it's
tornado season coming up, I like that idea of sort of fighting fire with fire. I have these hailstones that I gathered, and it's sort of like, okay, well, I'm gonna ward off like with like. So I thought that was kind of a fun tradition to maybe start playing around with.
I do like that.
And yeah, so I also kind of did a deeper dive into some of the other traditions.
Oh, nice. Because
several years ago, I did, instead of doing a big Imbolc, I did a Lupercalia.
Oh.
One of my friends who was a history major and did like classical history and literature. I was like, I miss throwing big dinner parties because I used to do it for Game of Thrones and do a big medieval feast.
Right.
I don't really have any reason to do that now. And he was like, you should do a Lupercalia. I was like, challenge accepted.
Okay.
I did a whole Lupercalia, and which is a Roman holiday. And it's a very, very ancient Roman holiday. It is so old that even the Romans writing about it didn't really remember how it originated or what it was originally all about, which
really?
I think is super hilarious and cool.
We forgot.
Yeah. What the Romans would do is they would go down to the Lupercal. Lupa is wolf. As we know, the giant she-wolf is very important to the myth of the founding of Rome. Romulus and Remus were
That's
twins,
right.
and They were abandoned, and a she-wolf came and nursed them to adulthood, and they went on to found the city of Rome. So there's a cave outside of Rome that was traditionally seen as being the cave of this mythic she-wolf.
Right.
And to me, that is so obviously a connection to a much older pre-Roman, perhaps even pre-Indo-European cult of the she-wolf.
Sure.
Being sort of this feral mother goddess. So instead of being a grain or cereal type of Demeter goddess of agriculture, being an older, more
primal,
paleolithic,
yeah,
nature goddess, where instead of being sort of mama granola goddess, she's like this fierce, like either a wolf or a bear. So this idea of
like protective but fierce, right?
Protective but fierce, right?
Right. More aggressive than just like nature nurture goddess.
Right. So the official priests would lead a procession there. They would do like a whole sacrifice of like a ram or something, and then they would dab the blood in with tufts of wool onto the young acolyte priests' faces, and you had to laugh the whole time you were doing it. So it sounds completely bonkers. But see, this sounds completely bonkers insane because it is, and they were just like, I don't remember why we started doing it, but we're just going to keep doing it because
like,
it's a great
why
time.
Did you have to laugh? It doesn't sound very ha-ha. I don't know, because
it's a happy, exciting time. So, and then there was this other thing where they would take entrails or strips of leather from the animals they had sacrificed. Okay. And the priests would run around the streets and they would, quote unquote, whip people. But I mean, not hard. They would just kind of like slap you with this non-cured leather strip of whatever. And it was supposed to bring you good luck. So you wanted to get the little slap.
You want to get whipped. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. And because it was supposed to like help with fertility and luck and stuff like that.
All right.
So,
okay.
And it was sort of a race. They would be like running like fast.
Okay.
So it's a very silly, crazy, bonkers holiday. Yeah. And then everybody would just eat and get drunk and do typical Roman
debauchery.
Debauchery.
Yes. Debauchery.
So I was like, yes, I will try to recreate this event.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do it.
How'd it go?
It went great because I for a long time have been interested in kind of connecting with like this mistress of the animals or Potnia Therion or she-wolf, she-bear type of goddess that's sort of pre-agricultural. So first of all, I will tell you what I made to eat.
Please.
And I made this Roman dish, which is, it's poached eggs. And then they've got like this pine nut sauce on it.
Oh,
so it's
yum.
Sort of
what?
Like, it's lighter on the basil, okay. But it's sort of like a pesto with the pine nuts.
Is the pine nut, like it's ground. It's like
yeah,
kind of crushed.
It's like ground as like a sauce.
Okay.
And it's got a little bit of vinegar in it, like a sherry vinegar, so okay. It's got a little bit of a bite, but it's creamy and sweet.
Delicious.
And that was delicious. There was also this testaroli, which is basically you make this type of crepe or pancake pasta sort of thing, and you cut it up into squares, and you fry it up, and then you cut it up into squares, and then you boil it lightly. And then you basically toss it in like a kind of basil oregano pesto, which was fucking delicious, obviously.
Yeah. Can't go wrong there.
I had dates with honey and pepper and pine nuts. I made civilium, which is basically a cheesecake, but the bottom of it is lined with bay leaves.
Ooh.
So obviously it's a showstopper. It looks beautiful when you pop it out upside down. But it tastes amazing. I thought it would be too much bay leaves because normally when you cook with bay leaves, you usually only have one like kind of steaming in whatever your liquid you're cooking.
Yeah.
And you just have one or two. But it was delicious. It gave it this really rich kind of green, almost sage like flavor.
Yeah, I
it
could
was,
see that.
It was amazing.
I hate to add, can I ask a question? This is like a technical nerd question. Was it dried bay leaves?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
yum.
I also made Moritum, which is basically just like herbed goat cheese spread with served with pita, which how could that possibly go
can't
wrong?
Can't go wrong there. Yeah, delicious. Okay.
I also tried my hand at making some... I forget what you... Oh, I also did some spiced red wine that had bay, fennel, mastic resin, and pepper and honey in it. And then Violatium, which was violet-infused white wine.
Wow.
Which are... These are all traditional Roman dishes. But I also tried my hand at making the Mola Sancta, which is basically the Vestal Virgins around this time would make a batch of these like kind of sacred communion wafers, but not communion because this is pagan Roman times.
Right.
But it was this very special process where they would make it over the hearth of Vesta, the goddess of hearths, and then but they would toast the grain ritually, and they would use this like special toasted salt that had been like purified and blessed. And they're not great crackers. They're like really flavorless kind of wheat thin guys. But they would make them and then they would be used for the rest of the year as offerings.
Okay.
And so I made some. So you basically, it's basically making homemade wheat thins or whatever. And I got a really neat like rolling pin that made these like little sort of mosaic tile designs.
Yep.
So it looked kind of Roman, and I made those and baked them up and then saved them in a little tin for the rest of the year. So that was also a really fun experiment. And also sort of, cause I have an offering station sort of altar above my vent hood above the stove.
Mm.
Where I leave offerings for the house spirits and stuff.
Yeah.
But I liked the idea of connecting to the literal oven and the flour and salt and all of that as sort of the literal hearth of the house.
Yes, for sure.
And because they also, the Romans honored the goddess of the oven as Fornax. So they personified it as a goddess. So I do a lot of like magic with cooking and cook for a lot of magical events, but I don't really interact with the oven as a literal deity.
I love that.
So that was really fun.
Yeah.
But let me get to that was a total detour because what I came up with for the Lupercalia and what is, so Lupercalia is usually in the middle of the month.
Yeah.
Some scholars think that it kind of inspired Valentine's Day because there was always already this sort of very sexy, wild,
festive situation happening.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But the name of the month, February, is named after Februa, who is a very, very old Roman deity, not one of the ones that you usually learn about that has an Olympian counterpart to Greek mythology. And she was a goddess of cleansing and purification. So, which is very relevant to in bulk, like the beginning of February as being this time of purification, of using candles to purify things. So this goes way back. It's not just a Northern European thing. And so I had trouble finding actual like liturgy or step-by-step stuff of how to do the Lupercalia ritual.
Right.
Because I don't know that it exists. So
we
I really
don't know
didn't make
that anybody
it up
remembers.
From...
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. But I created a sacred water bowl. I put a little bit of salt and water into a bowl. And I said some stuff in Latin.
There you go.
I don't know if I actually talked about this whole ritual.
I don't feel like we've
on the show.
I mean, how long ago was it? A year or two?
Two years ago at least.
Yeah, I don't know that we, if you talked about it, I was not there. So that's awesome.
And then I got my aspergillum and I anointed the priest and anyone else who wanted to be blessed.
Excellent.
And so I said, "Haec aqua a corpore impuritates velut plumbo ad aram mutando eluat," which is, "May this water cast out all impurities from my substance as from lead to gold."
Ooh.
Which was a blessing that I found from history. And then over the head, purge mentum, purify my mind. Over the torso, purge corpus, purify my body. And then purge enimum, purify my heart. Ita est, it is so. So that was fun. And then I invoked, usually you would always invoke Hestia and Janus at the beginning of every, any kind of ritual or festival in Roman times. So I did, you know, Father Janus, be blessed. In Iane Pater, Magde Esto. And then I put up a little Lararium, which the Romans, in the household folk religion, you would have, they believed in these Lares, which were sort of house spirits or ancestor spirits or kind of both.
Right.
And you would have like a little shrine and you would make offerings to it, you know, to protect your house and bless your family and to watch over you and things like that. So, so I started a little, fire bowl on the Lararium, and I burned the mola salsa, which is the sacred, blessed, toasted salt and flour for the little fancy crackers.
Yeah.
And, so I adapted this from a traditional Latin incantation, which is basically "Greetings, Mother Vesta, accept this offering made by my own handiwork. With your blessed help, I humbly beseech you to bless my hearth and the home of my family. Be thou increased by this, which I give to you. May the goddess be favorable. Vesta mater macte esto, excipie hoc sacrificium factum meo artificio de tua axulia beata, te precor humiliter utisis volens propitia foco mio, domice familiace mea macte hoc sacrificio dea propitia sit." My Latin is terrible, FYI.
I mean, it's like I can only say one thing and I took it for 4 years, so just feel good about that.
Yeah.
It's all right.
So then, you know, I also had my little, I offered these little crackers to the household gods, and wine and flowers to the Lares, and there's a little prayer that I adapted that was, "For these reasons be blessed by this libation, Father Lar, for the same reasons be blessed by the wine, be blessed by these flowers." And then Manes, Petantes, my genius. These are all different kinds of household and ancestral spirits. If something was unsatisfactory for you in these ceremonies, I expiate you by this libum. So that was like a very common sort of boilerplate writer on most invocations, where it'd be like
"Hey, if you don't like
for
this,
for some reason I fucked any of this up, here's some extra wine and crackers. Please forgive me."
I don't know why I've never thought about doing some kind of shrine or offering situation in my kitchen, since I do so much shit in there. Like, I really need to get on that. I don't know. It's fine. That's fascinating, and I encourage everyone to go read up on Lupercalia, because
there's more.
I'm sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
There's more.
Oh, okay. We'll go.
Okay, well I will. Okay. So there was also this very ancient goddess, Rumina, same root as like the word ruminate, like to chew on something, and what that actually is it's the word for like suckling.
Okay.
So Rumina was the goddess of breastfeeding. So this is basically another title of Lupa, like the she-wolf that nursed Romulus and Remus.
Right.
And so there was this thing, there was a holy tree at the entrance to the cave. And so people would make offerings of milk to this tree for the Lupercalia. So I had a little fake tree, and I put little cups of milk by it.
Oh, wow.
So, salve, okay. Rumina Mater. And then, so there aren't any ancient Roman, like, rituals, really, to Luperca or Feronia. Feronia is, like, a sort of pastoral goddess. She's the goddess of, as you can imagine, feral things, wild animals. And I see her as being very related to Lupa. So I did a little, I did find an invocation to her. So from Religion Romane, which is like a modern reconstruction religious site. And it was Salve Feronia Mater, Feronia goddess of our health, grant us a good life, Feronia goddess of the wildlife, grant us sustenance, Feronia goddess of fertility, grant us prosperity, Feronia goddess of abundance, grant us luxury. We honor you, Feronia, the creator of freedom, the hero of those who are in need. You are the granter of life and the keeper of it. We honor you. She was also associated with sort of the countryside and people. So she was also associated with like freedom or the idea of being unbound or, you know, not being ungirt to people. Yeah. Yes, ungirt.
Yeah, correct. Nice. Bringing it back.
So then they would have, they would do like a dog and goat sacrifice. And we weren't going to do that. So I
No, we were not.
I had goat milk, which is delish.
Yeah, delicious.
And then Mr. Herman, my little black dog, very generously donated some little matted fur that I clipped from behind his ears that needed to go anyway. so I put these sacrifices on the in the little offering bowl. And then instead of blood, because I'm not sacrificing a goat or a dog,
or any,
I had some vermilion paste,
okay,
which is common in Hindu rituals. Mm. And so I coated my ritual knife in that. And so I anointed anyone who wanted to be anointed with that. And then, yeah, so then you dip wool in the milk. And you wipe it off, and then the person you're doing it to has to laugh while this is happening, which I don't know, but it was silly and weird, and we did it.
Did they laugh?
Yeah.
Oh man, this is.
And then wow. And then we did the whipping. So I just had some like little strips of leather.
Yeah.
And we chased each other around the table, and we whipped everybody.
It's exciting. That was a lot.
And that was it.
It was a lot. But it's kind of good. That harkens back to our old times where we would have like five activities in one night. It's so exciting. That's fascinating. And that's coming up if you are interested in having some sort of Lupercalia situation. Do it now. Do it in a week. Do it.
Yeah. But a lot of it with the Rumina, like the idea of like, you know, the breastfeeding, the milk,
yes,
suckling goddess, that is very, very
related to
bulk.
Yes.
And also the stuff about the hearth.
Right.
Because like Breed, you know, Vesta is invoked in this. And it's also the time that they would make the Vestal Virgins would make the special Sancta Salsa. So all of that is pretty related, and I liked doing it just because it's kind of fun to do something that's like really random and silly.
Yeah. And very like so archaic that no one so really
archaic.
Remembers what the fuck it is. Yeah,
right. I mean, it's like over 2,000 years archaic to me, but it was already like half a millennium, it, like lost to time, the basis of it, to the Romans themselves, where they were like, I don't really remember why we do this. Like, these aren't really the
but let's just keep doing it.
But let's just keep doing it because it's a good time.
It's fun. Yeah.
But it's fun to just do it and then kind of see what works, you know, like what you want to keep.
Yeah. I love it. Oh. Well, I mean, if nothing else, make some fucking delicious food and
always a great idea to make delicious food.
Always. You can't go wrong with delicious food. This is great. I have one last addition because an epiphany did come to me yesterday. As a matter of fact, I've been wondering, you know, how we love boxes. We love little boxes. And you had gifted me this lovely Suspiria glass box. So I bought a fancy shelf just for this box. I'm going to paint the brackets for the shelf gold. And this box is going to be, are you ready? I am going to deem it my transformation box.
Oh, yes.
Now, I don't know what the fuck that actually means yet. I think it's going to involve putting shit in the box that I want to change. You know,
yes.
Like, so, and I think that goes beautifully with the theme of Suspiria and, like, the theme of, like, transformation in general. It's like, this couldn't be more perfect. So I don't know where that inspiration came from. It just, like, it was literally like a bolt of blue. Like, just right yes. out of the sky. It was just like, this is what you need to do with this. Because I've been, like, I've been thinking, like, I'm going to put it on a shelf and I'm just going to have it. And look at it. I'm like, no, it needs to, it's active. It's an active box. So we're going to make that into a transformation box. And I welcome any kind of suggestions you have for what that actually means or does. But I have an idea of what I'm going to do. So, ooh, and I wrote a little poem for In Bulk. Would you like me to, do you want to go out on it?
Fucking go? Obviously, yes.
Okay. Fucking obviously. Okay. Breed, the candles are lit. The bed is made. Bless me this night with words that have been stuck in my chest for far too long. Lend me your watchful eye and keep all I love safe. Bring me, O Breed, your blue flame, that I might forge a new beginning out of steel, out of bone and ash. I will listen for your voice through the mists, your wisdom reaching out through infinite time. The end.
Wow. That's so weird, because that kind of harkens back to what I was saying about this, like, looking up at the sky.
Yes.
And seeing this, like,
it's what I was thinking of. Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Crazy. Wow.
Brain twins.
We are brain twins. We love it. Find your own brain twin. And if you don't have a brain twin, you can be our brain twin.
Yeah.
Yay. This was super fun. I learned a whole bunch of shit. I didn't even really know.
Sorry
about.
I took us on a Lupercalia detour.
I'm excited. But that's coming right up. I need to make some fucking Lupercalia food is what I'm going to do. Pine nuts for all.
Sure. Always.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That was great. Okay. Well, shit. We'll see you. Oh, you got.
Nope. No, nope.
Oh,
nope.
We're ending. It's happening.
I was holding up my finger to count down.
And I was like,
outro.
Do you have more?
But now you have
no.
announced to everybody that we're doing it. So
we're doing
it. Cut this or it'll just be an awkward outro.
I think it'll be fun. Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay. Hocus pocus, bitches.